Morning. Am I working? Good. Okay, so for anybody who knows us even a little bit well, you'll know that we don't really do the whole formal thing terribly well. Hence the lounge relaxed setup for us. So please just sort of chill, put your feet up, sit back, relax, because that's, yeah. Hey, look, we got approached a little while ago and asked to share a little bit of our journey as we've been seeking God in February. We were asked to share a little bit with you a bit of a really personal journey for us, and it feels kind of weird because lots of times in Scripture when it talks about, especially around the area of fasting that we're going to focus on this morning, talks in Scripture about not making it obvious or not letting anybody know that you're fasting so as not to draw attention and lose the actual focus of what it's about. So it seems quite strange that we're up in front of all of you guys this morning talking about fasting. Because whilst it's a really intimate thing for us, it's very personal for us, and the experiences that have come out of that are really quite personal. I think it's also really good to share with each other some of the journeys and experiences that we do have in order to be able to inspire and encourage each other in the faith. So that's where we're coming from this morning. We're just hoping that as you hear a little bit of our journey, as you hear a little bit of our story, that God would use that to just inspire and encourage you guys to be seeking Him in your own journeys as well. So here we go. Linda, I'm going to get Lindell to start. I'll just ask you a question, I guess. How did this all start for you and us?
So I guess I need to go back to, right back to 2012, when we came back from being away for a year in America. When we came back, we had no idea what we're doing. We were going, how we're going to finance our lives and sort of what the trajectory was from there. And so I got introduced to a lady in Tauranga whose name is Ruth. And she, accidentally, at church one day, and she started talking to me about prayer, and I'm like, yeah. I know about prayer, yep, got it, yep, should be praying, yep. And she started to really talk to me about some of the tools that we have in our toolkit with prayer as well, and one of them was fasting. And I kind of went, okay, I like food. And she suggested that I really look at that and suggested a book to read as well. And, you know, fasting, as it wasn't foreign to me. I had known my family to fast over the years. My dad did fast intermittently. I knew the concepts of it. I knew that there's power in it, and I knew that it's something that we could use. But it was being held up to me really closely, I guess, by this lady. And so I went away, and just so happened that my sister-in-law had the book she mentioned, so she handed it to me. I didn't even have to go looking for it. And I picked it up, and I started reading it, and I was like, wow, this is way too convicting. I need to put it down. So I stopped reading it for quite a while. And it's funny, when God calls you to something, He doesn't let it go away. And it started to be this thing, this nagging thought in my head and my heart, Lindell, you need to get back to looking at this whole concept of fasting, because there's tools here, there's power here, there's things in this that I'm going to use in your life for my glory. And so I guess we sort of journeyed along and found ourselves in some situations that we sort of were cornered in. We didn't really have a plan or a strategy. We tried everything we could with our finances. We'd kind of gotten into a situation where our finances were a real issue. We had more debt than we knew what to do with and didn't quite know what God was going to do, but really felt like God was calling us to himself. And I guess for me, it was like God getting my face and going, look at me, you know, like look into my eyes, start looking at me, because I've got plans here that I want to show you. And I want to do it through fasting. So, so we went into a time of fasting. God showed us a bit of a strategy with fasting. And we thought, okay, what have we got to lose, you know? Like, I guess at worst, we could lose some kgs. At best, God could actually do something. And I really started, putting my toe in the water and going, okay, God, I want to see what you can do. If you can do anything. Because these problems are big and they feel like mountains in our lives. And one of the verses that God had shown me at that time was that verse about, I've come to set the captive free. So I really felt like, you know, this is we're in captivity. When there's anything in our life that's stopping us from living into the potential that God has for us, whether it be relationships or strongholds like things that hold us back, finances, addictions, or whatever, those things are keeping us captive. And God said that he's come to set the captive free. And I really wanted to see that, like he said it, so I believe it. Can you do it for me, God? Let's see. And I guess those are the things, that was a question I was really holding on to. God said he came to set this captive free, and free indeed. And so I really, we took some time to start praying through that. We started our fast and we waited and we watched and wondered if anything would change, if God could do anything with our situation. And over some time, so we did our fast and then we came to a place where we were just waiting and watching. I guess during a fast, it's a real significant time where you actually, your whole self starts to really look at God quite closely, physically. You're hungry, physically. You're doing things that you wouldn't normally do by not eating. It's quite abnormal, or changing what you're eating. Emotionally, you're feeling really vulnerable, and spiritually, as you pray through things while you're fasting, he's really starting to meet you where you're at. And there's some real strong verses that God was giving me during that time. And one of them was that God was saying to me, I'm able to do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine for my glory. And I started holding on to that verse as well. Like, God's able to do this. I don't know how he's going to change our circumstances. I don't know what he's going to do with this. But he said he's able. And I believe him. I don't know how that's going to look or what that's going to look like, but he said he's able. And so started living, working, walking in that and starting to see if God would actually change our circumstances and move. So the first thing that happened was that we got introduced to this woman, another woman in Tauranga, who was a financial advisor. How handy, I thought. This is what we need. A woman that said she was real keen to meet with us and just to talk through some of our issues and our options. Well, it's a real scary place when you start opening your whole self up to somebody and you start exposing things that you just have kept quite protected, quite hidden, things that you just don't really want to talk about. But God allowed us the opportunity to talk to this lady, and I thought, well, we've just got to lay it all out there and see, you know, like, let's just take this for what it is. And it was amazing, amazing interaction, because this lady was more than a financial advisor. She actually started to tell us her story after we'd sort of laid it all out there. And she's a woman that had had chronic back pain for quite some time, which is actually, as most of you know, I'm a nurse and I work in pain management. And so I started to sort of pay attention to what she was saying. She'd had an operation to try and fix that pain, but it had paralysed her. So she wasn't able to walk. She wasn't walking. And so she was slowly trusting God to get her life back on her feet again. Not only that, she started to tell us about her marriage situation and how her husband had been an alcoholic and lost everything in a business, so they'd just sold their house and moved out into a rental, and she was choosing to stay with him. And like the story just kept unravelling, and I kind of sat there and I thought, God, this is pretty amazing, because you're connecting our hearts in a way that's more than just the theoretical, the to-do list, how to fix our problems. It's like she was really exposing herself to me and us to say, just think about what God can do, because she was then starting to testify to us about what God was doing in her own heart. And so that was kind of our first sort of significant meeting after our fasting. And that was a God-given opportunity. So she laid out some strategies for us. And one of the strategies was the possibility of selling our house. And I was like, no, don't think that's a good idea. That's actually quite a bad idea in my mind. And so we wrestled with that, and we prayed about it, and I guess at that time God really just said, wait. And I know in that waiting time God started to do some big work in our hearts, and he started to talk to us about security and where our security was, where our financial security was, and was that really security at all? And as God started to begin to do some work in our hearts, he brought us into some, well, for me personally, he started to really reveal to me the state of my own heart and where I was placing my trust, and it was misplaced trust, and it was pride. And I was really, so God started unravelling some of that to me, and I think there were some real significant moments of truth that God was speaking to me about. Where is my home? Actually, this life is a rental. This isn't our home. This is just a passing through time in our lives. Heaven is our home. And that's where our hope should be, not in this place, but in the next place. And so it just started to loosen up my grip on holding on to something that was actually holding us back, and that was our home. He then put us in a situation where we had a couple come and live with us, and during that time, Jeremy was renovating their caravan, and they're in their 60s, 70s, and that's their home. That's what God has given them as their home. And I kind of, as they were living with us, they were just such an amazing mirror to me of God's generosity and grace, because he used their lives to really show us what contentment looks like, what true contentment looks like. And while they were living with us, we also had, I had this experience with my daughter Katie. She went to a birthday party to a girlfriend's place, and it was in this beautiful home in Cumberland Drive, and where I went to pick her up, and as I walked in the door, the lady came to meet me and said, oh, I want to show you something. And I thought, oh, okay, this is nice. She's going to show me her home. She took me to a little hole in the wall, which had accidentally happened by my precious daughter doing something silly. Not really. She bumped a curtain and the knob came out, and it pulled a little bit of the jib off. And she was mortified. She was mortified at this. And I kind of stood there in shock, thinking, are you for real? It's just something really little. But it overtook her. This was like a big deal for her. And as I walked out of that house that day, it was like God showing me this extreme contrast of what you, of my heart, really. You know, like, do you want to be like this in a castle and have the beautiful things but have no love? Or do you want to live in a caravan and be generous and have influence and show off God's love to people? And it was a real moment of clarity for me, and a real changing of my heart happened in that moment. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, I'm a nurse. Just comes out of me. So I guess what happened, when we're praying for strategy, God was at work changing us and changing our hearts and changing my heart and starting to change it and to strip away some of the deep, dark things in my heart with just really simple things, like showing me simple things in people's lives and in his truth. So I guess that was the beginning of walking us towards some freedom that we walked into. Do you want to carry on?
Yeah. One of the interesting things for me as we started out this intentional journey, I guess, of seeking God, again, out of a place of great need and desperation, what I found interesting was often the journeys and the answers and the people that God would bring along our path would be very left field. This financial advisor who we just thought, yeah, this is awesome, this is a great strategy, this is what we should do. We walk away from that meeting with the distinct feeling that she was in a worse place than we were, which is not necessarily the vibe you want to get after you go and see a financial advisor. But at the same time, we knew that God had orchestrated that meeting, and that was exactly where we were supposed to be, because it actually wasn't really about the money at all, because God's never about the money necessarily. Sure, it's important, and he knows that we need it to live and all those kinds of things, but in God's plan and in God's strategy, it's always about something way bigger than that. And that was some of the lessons that he was teaching us, is that in a spiritual journey, we need to actually be aware that answers and people and journeys aren't always going to be that obvious. They might be a little bit out of left field. And in that vein, I guess one of the outcomes for us as we continue that journey, we came back to the whole point of going, actually, we don't see any way out of this. We are going to have to sell our house. And yet God had said, wait. We were really convinced that he said, wait. We'd bought the house in one of those high market times, as is sometimes the way. And where we were at that stage, the market was really low. So low, I guess, that we would barely have been able to sell the house for what we bought it for 6 or 7 years earlier, which wasn't a great place to be. But again, when you're in a place of desperation or cornered or feeling trapped, you'll look at any option. So it was really interesting at that time that, and again, it was just a really benign time. It wasn't a specific time that I was really pressing in to seek God at the time, but I think it was on my way to work one day, I just said, God, I really want to talk about this issue of selling our house again. I'm really thinking that that's where we're at right now. And this is not something that I usually do. This is not a normal thing for me to test God, if you like. And I don't even know where this came from. But I said, and let me give you a little bit of backstory first. We had this gas heater in our house, random, but it had broken down. And we'd spent the whole winter with this family that we were doing up their caravan with, they were living with us at the time. This heater just stopped working. So our house at the time was uninsulated and it was freezing. And it really annoyed me. I don't know how many times I'd try to fix it. We really didn't have the money to get a gas for it and to come and get him sorted out. But it just really annoyed me that it wouldn't work. So this was about for a period of about 3 months that it hadn't worked. And for some reason, on that day, in the car, on the way to work, I said, look, Lord, I really need a sign. I really want to know what you want us to do with this house. So I said, if tomorrow morning I get up and I go and I press the button on the gas heater, if it works, then we're selling the house. If not, then we'll carry on waiting. And I promptly forgot about it. But there it was, the issue was decreed on my behalf at least. Again, that wasn't something that I would normally do, but I did it and then went on with my day. The next morning I woke up, and as I normally do, I'll go head straight to the kitchen and make a coffee for Lindell and I. And halfway through that, I remembered this bargain, if you like, that I'd made with the Lord. And went, oh, that's right. So with a little bit of intrepidation, I walked into the lounge. And I mean, I tried to start this heater 100 times. And that was the bane of my existence at that point in my life, because it just wouldn't go. I flicked the button on and boom, it went. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This bargain I'd made with the Lord and then completely had forgotten about, and then just me randomly remembering in the morning and doing it, and it's going. I grabbed the iPad that was beside me and took a photo and walked into Lindell's room and said, I woke her up or got her attention and just shoved the picture of the gas heater in full blaze right in front of her face. And she said, well, I guess we're selling the house then, huh? And I'm like, kind of have to now, don't we? I decided to do something really random after that, and I'm going, and so I was like, well, okay, if we're doing this random thing and just expecting God to show up, like he has so far, I'm just going to randomly pick a real estate agent out of the phone book, and the first one that draws my eye, that's the person that we're going to go with, and we're going to sell the house through them. So that's what I did.
We don't normally work like
no,
this.
No, we don't.
This is not normal for us.
We got a random real estate agent to sell our house, and just went, you know what, Lord, if you're in this journey, if you're leading this journey, we're just going to leave it to you and let you look after this. Well, that experience was just a mind-blowing experience for us, because we weren't aware at the time that the property market was starting to go like that. And by the time it came to doing the auction for our house, the house sold for way more than we could have ever, what was the verse you said? Hope or imagined?
Yeah. Immeasurably more.
Immeasurably more.
Than we could believe or imagine.
Yeah. And so we ended up with not only selling our house and having enough to pay off the debt, but we had some in reserves, and we was just like, awesome, that's great. That is immeasurably more than we could ever have hoped or imagined. Except that God was doing a work in us, going,
it's not yours.
Yeah, it's not yours. It's not yours. And unbeknownst to us, it wouldn't be too long before he was going to challenge us about that and just say, now you need to give it away. And I'm like, you've got to be joking me. Really? You brought us all this way and gave us all that we could ever want and imagine, more so, and now you're saying to give it away? No way. Mm. Long story short, we gave it away. And we're kind of, we're living now, post that now, and God has in so many ways blessed us again immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine. But as a result of that time, we have just instituted, I guess, into our lives at the beginning of every year a month where we set aside, or actually in our case 21 days where we set aside those 21 days for the Lord at the beginning of the year to go, you know what, Lord, We need you as an anchor for our life. We need you as that solid rock to stand on to be able to get through each and every year. So that's something that we've done at the beginning of every year. Now, we missed a year. We got busy. We lost focus or what have you as far as that went. It was a terrible year that year.
It was challenging.
It was very challenging. Yeah.
We missed the anchor.
Yeah.
So often during our fasts, it's a time where God actually gives us an anchor of truth to walk in, and that's God is still faithful. God still walked with us, but we certainly missed it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess that's the story we wanted to share with you, but...
Can I just add something?
Oh, sure. Of course you can.
Just a little bit more detail.
Go on then.
So...
It's all about the detail.
And I'm much better one-on-one with detail. But it was like God did this undoing in our heart around security and knowing that nothing is ours, actually. We think it is. We build up things and we think that it's ours and nothing is. God gives and he takes away. And stuff is very fragile. And it can be here one day and gone the next. And we just need to look around the world to see that. So I guess that was something that God spoke to us really clearly about when he gave us money. It was really clear to us the next challenge was, it's still not yours. It's not yours. None of it is yours. But it's mine. Like, as in God's like, it's mine and I'm really trustworthy. And I have the ability to provide in ways that you don't even know. And I have the ability to bring strategies into your life that you haven't seen yet. And so it was a real trust step for us to test God in his trust. But actually it was more about us growing our roots a whole lot deeper. And things in life will come along and you're going to be tested and God is going to test your hearts to see where your trust is at. And I think that's what that time was really about. And, you know, I got to a place of real contentment just in the place that we were at. And then God started to move again and showed us that he had a strategy to bring us into a new place. And I was kind of quite surprised by that, because some of you know now that we have just built a house. That's not ours. That's all God's. And God moved in a way that provided every single step of that. Every little piece of concrete, it's all God's. And it's not ours. And my prayer is that the learnings that we have and continue to have, we would still keep our eyes wide open to what God is doing and what he's giving and how he's giving it and for who he's giving it for. And the last part to that verse about immeasurably more is that it says for God's glory. And I guess that's our prayer, is that our lives, whatever circumstances your lives are in, it is for God's glory, not for your own. Holding everything really loosely and openly for God to use and to use powerfully so that you can boast in what God is doing in your life, not what you're doing in your life, but what God is doing. And I know that there's real joy when I think about that. There's real joy to say, actually, my God, he does stuff. and I've seen it. And it's not just a figment of my imagination. And like some people at work tell me, it's my external locus of control. It's not. It's an internal locus of control. And I see him work. And, yeah.
So you might be sitting there going, well, that's a real nice story. But what does that really mean for me? And I guess I just wanted to finish with a little bit of a challenge, I guess, where we've, I guess, just given you a little window into our lives, and we focused on one story around our finances. But the reality is that for every single person in this room, there is something or some things that we wrestle with continually or periodically, and it might not be finances. For you, it might be. But for others of you, there will be some health issues that you will struggle with or are struggling with. Or people in your family have health issues that are significant. And for some of you, there will be relationships that you wrestle with and struggle with from time to time. For some of you, it will be work stuff, either where you're studying, where you're working, a business you own, whatever it might be. There are wrestles that come with that. And they're legitimate, and sometimes they're really significant in that they consume your life. for a period of time. And God knows that. And part of the reason why we wanted to share our story this morning is to encourage you to think about this whole seeking thing in a deeper way as it relates to you. What is it that you're wrestling with? What is it that God has on your plate right now? Because he's there. He's waiting for you to invite him into that situation. And we've talked a little bit about the way in which we invited God into our situation by spending some time just intently and in a real focused way seeking his face for our life. I know that each one of you sitting here today have got things that you could think about where you really do need to intently seek God for in your own life.